It must have happened to me 1,000 times across my lifetime. I've fallen head over heels in love, forged deep friendships, nursed a vendetta against black squiggles on a white page, aka a fictional character in a book. But can you blame me? Things can get seriously intimate after you've spent hours in a fictional world getting to know characters' inner thoughts and feelings. So if you have ever fallen in love with a book character, then consider yourself a ficto-romantic. But don't worry, you're not alone, or even that novel, pardon the pun. This phenomenon has been around for centuries. Esmé Louise James is a historian who focuses on eroticism throughout the ages. And she has a hugely popular TikTok account called Kinky History. She also has a very real and non-fictional PhD in this. Esmé, hello.
Thank you so much for that introduction. That was lovely. Hi.
I need to know straight up, who's your fictional crush?
Well, it's quite embarrassing. At the moment, I've developed a crush on a video game character, which is essentially where all of this conversation came about, and I speak about it in my show. There's this game that's recently come out called Baldur's Gate 3, and it's essentially a role-playing video game where you can have different relationships with different characters. And after a while, I realized that I was developing a crush on this fictional character. And then it made me think back to all of the times as a bookworm over the years that I've fallen in love continually with different fictional characters. I'm thinking Edward Cullen in Twilight, Mr. Darcy in Pride and Prejudice, the people that I would put on my wall and I would have their quotes, you know, by my bed when I was 14 and 15. It's something that humans have been doing for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Oh, I love this fact that it's old, because I do think we think about, posters on the walls, teenage girls, that sort of thing feels very, very modern. Mm-hmm. It's called ficto-romance, i.e. falling in love with a fictional character. What are some of the earliest examples that you found?
I do love that as a historian, my immediate way to go and justify my behaviour is to find if it has any relevance in history. And I was very, very thankful that as I started this deep dive after my video game binge, that I did uncover that it goes all the way back to ancient times, really to the dawn of storytelling. And one of the earliest examples I could find of ficto-romance is actually a fable about the experience of ficto-romance itself. And it's from Ovid's Metamorphoses and the story of Pygmalion.
Of course.
Pygmalion is this sculptor, and he is dissatisfied with the women available for him to marry, poor little Pygmalion. And so he decides to carve his perfect woman out of ivory. However, he finds he falls in love with his creation, and he starts worshipping this sculpture and praying to Aphrodite, the goddess of love, to please make this sculpture real. And finally she does, maybe because it was weird to watch a man falling in love with a sculpture, she blesses the sculpture, she becomes real, and the man and the sculpture marry. And that is essentially the dream of these kind of, you know, TikTok, BookTok girlies today, where we fall in love with fictional characters and want them to become real. That is like the original fable of that experience happening.
And it's not even, like, that story has been recycled so many times over the years. My Fair Lady, Poor Things, yes. That movie that came out last year. It's obviously something that does resonate with us through the ages.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting because you flash forward to like the birth of the novel, the romance novel, which happens around the 18th century. And what happens here in some incredible cases, like Samuel Richardson's Clarissa, when this book came out and it really started having the kind of first fan following of books, and especially female readerships coming out of this publication, people start writing to Samuel Richardson, the author, not only saying how much they love the book, but in some cases, writing to him as though Clarissa is a real person, imploring Samuel Richardson to give Clarissa a better ending, to give Clarissa the love that she deserves. And we start to see this, you know, projection of humanity onto this novel character. And, you know, the same thing happened when we had Sherlock Holmes, for example. For many years, I think it's about four decades, people would write to the fictional address of Sherlock Holmes on Baker Street in England, and they actually had to employ someone to read and respond to these letters as though they were Sherlock Holmes.
Oh my gosh. On Life Matters on Radio National, I'm Tegan Taylor, and you're listening to Esme Louise James, Dr. Esme Louise James, talking about literary, what are we calling it? Ficto-romance. So when you fall in love with a fictional character, and clearly, if you're listening, you have very similar taste in books to me, because I'm seeing Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird, Jamie Fraser from the Outlander novels, and I can't agree with this one quite so much, Edward Fairfax Rochester from Jane Eyre. He's problematic. Anyway, let's keep moving, because you were talking about people writing to fictional characters and someone being employed to respond to them. But what we're seeing these days with artificial intelligence is you can create a bot that will talk and respond like a fictional character, which at first blush sounds amazing, but it's thorny.
Now, this is a really interesting phenomenon, and it's something I think we need to talk about earlier rather than later. These AI chatbots, which you essentially get a character. So, for instance, you can look up Mr. Darcy. I'm saying this like I haven't done it. I've absolutely done it. And you can look up Mr. Darcy, or you look up Colin Bridgerton. And not only can you message in written format to this chatbot, but you can also call them and have a video call, an audio call with these characters. And they generally have voices, the kind of Colin Firth voice. Again, not that I've done this.
Ardently he loves and admires you?
He actually did. It was lovely. The scene had started as he had just fallen in the lake, which, you know, absolutely have not rewatched that scene many times on the BBC adaptation. But you can have these conversations with these characters. And so you're, in a very different way, consolidating these kind of romantic feelings to these fictional characters in a way that, you know, 250 years ago when we were writing letters to the author, that's a very different one-sided relationship to what we can have today with AI chatbots. And I think that raises some interesting questions on how that is going to change our desires and really relationship to our romantic behaviours.
We have talked on Life Matters and other ABC programs before about the sort of ethical considerations. We're really touching on a lot of ethics today, of AI creators and sort of coders and the things that go into the back end of an AI to be responsible for users. What considerations need to go into building these things? Because as this chat demonstrates, fictional characters can be so powerful even when it is just one-sided.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we're looking at history, and as I've kind of gone through today quite briefly, we do note that there is a historical justification of falling in love with fictional characters. That is something that is very normal and a very human response. But now when we add into the conversation, what role will AI play in this? I think it is imperative, especially when we're educating not just younger generations, but also the older generations, which we've seen, especially when we're looking at companionship AI robots, will probably be the first to use these for companionship. How do we maintain remembering that something is not real while interacting with it in a way that kind of fills up our social bar? We're going to have to start teaching a way to kind of remember in our mind, hold in our mind, that something is not real. And I say that because when we have these conversations with AI chatbots that may be romantic, they may be sensual, one thing that is very different from doing that with a real person is that reality, that ability to have empathy. And if we lose empathy in any kind of our romantic behavior or sensual behavior, that is where we start running into issues. And we have seen some very dire consequences already of people becoming too attached to these AI character chatbots and being that affecting their ability to have relationships with other people. So that is something that we're going to have to start having conversations about, no matter how weird or outlandish it is, because it does feel like a very future construct, but it's not. It's happening now and it will happen quickly.
You're listening to Life Matters here on Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, and we're talking about literary romances, falling in love with a fictional character. Elise Elsie, sorry, in Adelaide says, I loved James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano in The Sopranos, but I loved both him and the character he played. Someone else, my literary crush is Robbie Turner in Atonement. And every now and again, I think of that book and tears well up in my eyes. So the emotional component is so real. Esme, what's the difference between a ficto-romantic relationship, which we're talking about here, and a parasocial relationship, which is something else we've heard a lot of the last couple of years?
Absolutely. Like, there's definitely a Venn diagram between these two phenomenons. Essentially, a parasocial relationship is something that you might have with a social media creator and a social media user. The social media user is seeing someone who creates videos and vlogs every single day, and so they kind of think that they have a relationship or a friendship with this person, but the creator, the social media creator, genuinely has no idea who this user is. So it's a kind of one-sided relationship that's projected on. And the parasocial relationships are very normal things. Like, that does happen. And it's happened all throughout history. So there's nothing wrong with that happening. It's just holding it in mind. And the ficto-romantic relationship is when you fall in love with something or a person that is completely make-believe. Someone from a book, a movie, a video game.
Fair enough. Jeffrey in the Stick says, Tintin and Snowy, loved them from years, 4 years. And someone else says, I think we could say that all of love is about falling in love with a fictional character. Oh, that's Ooh. Very meta. I love that. Oh. Esme, that might be the topic of your next research paper.
I think so too, just in time for Valentine's Day as well.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm always happy to talk about my literary crushes.
Me too. Dr. Esme Louise James is a historian and kinky history TikTok content creator. Thank you so much for your text today on being in love with a fictional character. I have had a passionate relationship, says this texter, with the French artist Jean-Auguste Dominique Ingres. I saw his portrait when I was 25 and at the museum, and I've gone back to see him every time I'm in France. I'm now 64. I took my niece to see him last year, and now she is in love with him too. She was shocked that for the first time she was attracted to a painting. He is so beautiful.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.